Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening we talk about an award-winning production, Degeneration, an Exaltation of Larks, which will be performed by the Sandglass Theater on November 14th through the 17th at the Touchstone Theater. Tonight, we explore the subject of Alzheimer's, an advanced stage of dementia, with both humor and compassion, which is the theme of the Degeneration performance. The full-length play centers around stories written collaboratively by groups of people with late-stage dementia, and the play is performed by puppeteers Eric Bass, Inez Zeller Bass, and Kirk Murphy, the caregivers and five puppets, the residents of a care facility. And my guest this evening, I'm extraordinarily honored to present Eric Bass and his wife, Inez Zeller Bass, who will help us take charge of our lives by learning how we can develop compassion and empathy for those individuals with late-stage dementia. We will learn something about a technique called the time-slip method of storytelling from those affected. It is my pleasure to welcome Eric Bass and Inez Zeller Bass to WDIY. Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Hello, Ellie.
Oh, thank you for being here. And you're going to be performing this. This is going to be a performance taking place at the Touchstone Theater this coming week. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What are the dates?
Oh, goodness. I don't have them in front of me.
November 14th through the 17th at the Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem. Eric, tell us, how did you come to think of using puppets to demonstrate the need for awareness of late-stage dementia?
Well, I think it's important first to say that we are a puppet theater company and an ensemble theater company, so that it's not for us that we would begin with a theme and then think, what a good idea to use puppets. I mean, we always use puppets. So it's more that we would look at it the other way and think of what themes interest us within the sphere of the way we make theater. What puppets invite is a distinction between different worlds that encounter each other or even that collide. So the first thing that we do when we look at any piece of theater that we decide to stage is to define what the different worlds are in the piece. And certainly, when we're talking about a circle of people with dementia, there's some sense in which that circle of people are living in a different world from their caregivers, perhaps, that the disease has defined their reality in a different way. And so for us, it's very natural then, by extension, to think of which world would be played by puppets and which world would be played by actors. We would do the same if we were staging Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream.
Now, how did you come across the stories that you and the people that you wanted to give representation to?
We developed these stories in two senior citizen homes over many weeks with a method called time slips. You present a picture to every participant, and you ask in a very specific way questions that bring out the story of what people who look at the picture can see. And the questions are all phrased in a way that no one is afraid of giving a wrong answer, because that's one of the big issues for people who are in that condition, that very often they think I'm being asked a question. I have to give the right answer. And that very often leads right away to a blocking. So when we present them a picture, we ask very open questions. They, for instance, like, what shall we say is happening here?
Or what would you like to say?
Or what would you like to say is happening here? So that they don't hear what is happening there. When they hear this, they think they have to give a very specific answer. So they, right from the beginning, there is an openness. And then you realize after a while that they become more free and unencumbered to answer those questions. And this is how you then slowly develop by asking more questions, they become more alive, and slowly a story emerges.
Look, can you tell us what kind of a picture you might show them? You describe the picture? Give us an example.
Sure. I'd like to just back up a little and say something about the time slips method. It was developed by Ann Basting from Wisconsin, who works in the area of aging and mental health, but is also a playwright. And so she brought herself as an artist to the to this world of, I guess you'd call it, therapy. And Anne developed the time slips method. She has a number of pictures that are licensed to time slips to be used, and they're the kind of pictures that you'd find in some of the more interesting postcard shops.
For instance, you see two women wrestling with a crocodile.
Or that famous picture of a little girl hugging an elephant, both of them looking off into the distance.
Or a baby sitting in a leather bag, smiling at you.
Ah, so these are unusual.
Yeah, the one was really funny. An old woman about in her, I would think in her 80s, standing at a bus stop and having her one leg all the way up against the pole, so like she looks like she's in a split.
Like a contortionist.
Oh, my.
But she's at least 80. You can see it.
So these are not usual pictures, you know, because when you were saying we look at a picture, I didn't know what kind, you know, these are unusual pictures that really stimulate and really can allow people to use their whatever thoughts occur to them.
Absolutely
so. And the pictures are very often funny, although sometimes they can trigger something more poignant in terms of the connection. I think that the important things to say here are that this is a creative process. Whether actual memories of the participants surface during this, they may or they may not. As far as we understand it, that dementia, Alzheimer's, that these are not reversible conditions. These are irreversible, and so time slips doesn't seek to heal the disease. It seeks to improve the quality of life of people with the disease.
That's a very special statement. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this evening, we're talking about the degeneration, which is going to be presented at the Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem this week, November 14th through the 17th. And my guests this evening are Eric Bass and Inez Zeller Bass, who are helping us to understand the techniques that they use to gain stories. And by gaining stories of people with dementia, helping us to understand the stories of despair and joy. You know, this is a very interesting technique that you have used, and the time slips method seems to be very special. Were you impacted yourself with the responses that you found? In other words, how were you impressed yourself personally by what you got from the responses of the people that you interviewed?
Oh. Yeah, we were first approached as a theater company in 2008 by a group called PHI out of New York City that work with this method and work with people with late-stage dementia. And their interest was that these stories that had been collected through time-slip story circles be put on the stage so that so that audiences could see the creativity, even to see the imagery in people with late-stage dementia. And as a theater company, our response was that sounds great, but we would like to go through the entire process of learning how to facilitate through time slips so that we could gather this material ourselves and have a real experience from which we could create a theater piece, because our work as theater artists is based on what we experience.
It was also very important to really experience people in that condition, since Eric and I, we both don't have immediate relatives who are who have that disease. So for us to be really surrounded by people who deal with it was very important to shape the piece itself, because the piece is not only about retelling or telling the stories, it's also our reflections on on what we see, to understand that we have to be patient, how to tune in. These were all things that happened in being with these people, which was an incredible learning curve, and hopefully will help me give this knowledge on also to my children.
So when PHI first approached us, they showed us a video of the process in action, as it were, and this video really excited us, and so I think that was the first impact that we had. But doing this, going back into the same care facility every week for 10 weeks, and then another one every week for 10 weeks, we also felt we were developing relationships with the
residents. They would not necessarily recognize us as who we were individually, but they understood when we came that they were doing something that was familiar to them, that they had been doing before, and something they enjoyed.
We're going to talk more about the degeneration and this wonderful puppet theater presentation when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. We're talking about this evening is an award-winning production called Degeneration, the Exaltation of Larks, which will be performed by the Sandglass Theater on November 14th through the 17th at the Touchstone Theater. And we're talking about the subject of Alzheimer, and we're talking about the idea of dementia as expressed through stories gained from patients in a nursing home. And my guests this evening are Eric Bass, who has worked for 30 years as a director, playwright, and performer, as a mask and puppet maker, and also his wife, Inez Zeller Bass, who has been performing with puppets since 1968 when she became a member of the Munich Marionette Theater. We were talking in the first part of the program about using the time slip method of gaining stories. Was there any particular story or resident of a nursing home that really impacted you?
I would say they all impacted us. When we saw them over 10 weeks, every week we were actually really looking forward to see them again. And we kind of developed a kind of love for them. And you never knew, you know, you would come and sometimes they would be very chipper, or one of them would be chipper. And the next time you came and they were very quiet and you thought, I don't know if I will see them again next time. And you come back and here they are, fully back into the whole process. So there started to happen a relationship to the patients. And I think that this connection led also to the puppets themselves. That's how they manifested themselves in these five puppets. Because in the way when we sculpted them and we gave them bodies, all these feelings came into those puppets. I must also say that one of our collaborators, Connie Richards, she was mainly involved in building puppets. She was very closely working with us. But it was a very collaborative thing to bring out what we experienced in these people came out in the puppets that we created.
Yes, the four main collaborators with us on this piece, which is Connie Richards, who sculpted the puppets, and Paul Dedell, who composed the music, Michel Moise, who created the video segments, and Roberto Salomon, the director of the piece, all had parents who had late-stage dementia, and so they were all bringing their experiences into the work as well. I would say that one thing that struck me very strongly was one single sentence that was said by one of the residents we worked with. And she was a woman who had had a very erudite and educated life. She had been a teacher of higher education, and here she was in a nursing home of very very mixed economic classes. And at one point in what seemed to be a moment of clarity, she said, "When you come in here, we all look the same." And this struck us as one of the most significant pieces of the experiences that we were going to work with. In what way does this disease make everyone equal? It make everyone the same? In what way does it level the playing field? And in what way does individualness still kind of rise to the character of the people we were working with? It as artists, this was a very interesting aspect of this work.
Another aspect that I felt was very, very impacting was that you had to go there and just be in the moment. There was basically no past, there was no future, there was just that time together. And that was lovely, because this is a lesson that I felt applied not only to the disease itself, but to life in general, that we have to sometimes really scale back and just be in the moment so that we don't get boxed down by what has been and what will be.
Well, that's a very beautiful concept and a very beautiful learning. Did you feel that, you know, it sounds, you know, when we talk about puppetry, at least in my own background, I'm used to puppetry in terms of, you know, laughter and joy and silliness. But here you're talking about puppetry in a very different way, a very different mode of using puppets to really gain insight and empathy and compassion for people that we may not have been able to have compassion for before.
Yeah.
Well, the puppet has a presence. I mean, we have room in our theater piece for the audience to simply experience the presence of the puppets as they are. One of the things that we talked about among ourselves as we were creating this piece is that people have a certain discomfort with puppets, in a way, very similar to the discomfort that we have when we're around people with dementia or Alzheimer's. We don't quite know what we're supposed to do or say, or you know, what is our relationship to those people. And we feel that way about puppets a little bit too. We're not quite sure what our relationship is to them. We can't take certain things for granted. Puppets also give us a little bit of distance to look at some very difficult subjects, and they evoke things in us. People come up after the show that one of the last things we do in every performance is just open the stage for visiting hours, and the audience can come up and visit with any of the the residence that they want, and invariably people say, this person reminds me of so and so in my family, or even this person reminds me of someone I'm about to become. You know, I mean, it's interesting.
Or they come on stage and say, they're all of a sudden so quiet, they are just puppets. So it could also be that way. And for me, this is the most interesting and most compelling part, that I'm as a performer, but also as a character. What is asked of me when I'm on stage? I am the puppeteer of the puppet who is a specific character, and I am taking care of it. But at the same time, I also have to be that character. I give it voice, although I'm fully visible, and the audience has to be able to make the differentiation. They see me, they see the puppet, but they also understand that there is a difference between me as the puppet and me as the caregiver. It's a little bit complicated.
Yes.
This is very challenging work. On top of that, we are also reflectors. We are also reflecting on what's going on within the piece. And I find that I'm asked so many different things as an actor, as a manipulator, as a puppeteer, that this keeps me constantly on my toes. And it teaches me, it's really complicated, but when I'm next to my puppet that I'm taking care of, but am at the same time in the character, I really have to listen. And I have to give space to both. To me as the caregiver, but also to me as the puppet character.
Now, are you talking now? My understanding, Inez, is that the show is divided between the patients and the caregivers. Is that correct?
Well, it's not really divided. I mean, we're all on stage together. And in fact, there are other worlds, too, in this piece. Michel Moyse has created these beautiful videos of what might be happening in the minds of our characters, the residents, the care facility residents. And then there's an implication also of another world, which is the world of the family members who come to visit. And some of those people are actually in the audience. And when we do talkbacks after the show, many of them have their own stories they want to tell.
How are the caregivers impressed with those stories that they see revealed before them through the puppeteers? Do they feel do they feel empathy? Do they feel compassion? Do they feel differently towards the people that they're taking care of?
Well, I think one of the things that's very important for us to say is that our own experience as facilitators of these time slip circles was that we had the best of times. We came in to play. We were there to play, and so our relationship as caregivers, in the sense that we were during these time slip sessions, was that we were there to have fun together, and so we got the best of it, as it were. That's different from what many family members go through, where there's much more darkness and much more terror. And so when we created Degeneration, we really had to work to balance the terror, which is a reality, and the playfulness, which is a lovely state to be able to enter.
Did you feel that you learned something different than from before you started the project? Did you have a difference or a change in attitude yourselves?
I think for certain, and I think that was most pronounced in our director, Roberto Solomon, whose mother is currently in late-stage dementia. And Roberto said that during the process of creating this piece, his entire relationship to his mother changed.
Well, I think that is exciting, and I'm really looking forward to attending the performance. I want to thank you, Eric Bass, Inez Zeller Bass, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that we can appreciate people with late-stage dementia through listening to their stories of despair and joy. Thank you for helping us to understand the time slip method of listening. Tickets are available for the Degeneration at the Touchstone Theater in Bethlehem for those days from November 14th through the 17th, Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. Contact the Touchstone Theater at 610-867-1689. Thank you again, Eric Bass and Inez Zeller Bass. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.